Yes, you're listening to Stages here on 2SER 107.3. Thanks, Regina. I'm Roderick Chambers, and we've got a double play coming up for you. Yes, the Laramie Project is on at the Seymour Centre at the Regional Theatre, and it's the Laramie Project and the Laramie Project 10 years later. So two plays, they're run concurrently, so you see both of them. And I've got on the line right now Carly Sissy and Francisco Lopez, who are in the Laramie Projects. Now, yeah. Laramie sounds like an old west town. Carly, you're directing this production. Yep. What sort of a town is Laramie?
So I actually just came back from visiting Laramie in September. I went over with my co-director, Rosie Niven. And what sort of a town is Laramie? I think what's so special about this play is that it is such an ordinary town. It could be literally anywhere. If you think of driving, you know, an hour out of Sydney, you would hit a town so close to Laramie in terms of similarity. So I think that what's really interesting about this play is that it just could be anyone, anywhere, and that, you know, this particular incident catapulted it into the media, made it a town where we know the name when really, I mean, my experience was it was a town you could really drive through and probably miss.
Yeah, so it's a small town, isn't it?
A very small town.
Country town. And exactly. Francisco, you're one of the actors in this play. First of all, what are you playing? What character are you playing?
So each of us play more than 10 characters over the two plays that we're in. So the characters that I play include one of the theatre company members who went in and interviewed the Laramie residents. I also play a bar owner, a Mormon leader, the emergency room doctor who treated Matthew when he was brought into the hospital, and the chief investigating officer as well that was working for the sheriff's office.
All right, well, you better tell us a little bit about what the plot is, because you just said Matthew's coming from hospital. So what's happened here?
So what happened in Laramie 20 years ago, actually, was a horrible murder of a young 21-year-old student in Laramie. He was, you could say, kidnapped, taken out of just outside of the town, beaten, tied to a fence, and then left to die. He was only found 18 hours later, brought into hospital, where he held on for about 6 days in total, and then unfortunately passed away. So then, obviously, the huge media attention happened in Laramie. A whole lot of media descended on the town. At first, they kind of wanted to paint Laramie to be this backwards town, but I think this play really starts to investigate what lies underneath that.
Yeah, and Carly, what attracted you to this play? Is it the writing, the actual event? You've obviously been there. It's been quite fascinating for you, I suppose.
Absolutely. I actually studied this play first when I was in high school. It's been a text that has found its way on the HSC list for many years now and will continue to for at least another 3 years. It's a very influential piece of writing. It's verbatim, which means that everything that our actors say on stage has been derived from over 400 interviews. So every word that is said is real, and that fascinated me when I was first exposed to it. And to me, it's such an example of what theatre can do and what theatre can be. And to tell a story that, you know, plenty of theatre is based on a true story. We should point out, too, that unfortunately Matthew was murdered because he's gay, or he was gay. And so this is a hate crime that sparked massive legislative change in America. And I believe that we see the spiral effects of that certainly here. I won't say worldwide, but certainly here. And so I was very attracted to the piece of writing itself. I think verbatim is a fascinating style. In terms of, you know, when I say what theatre is and what it can be, we just did our first preview performance and we've filled the audience with high school children who are now sitting and listening to examples of redemption, of the dangers of hate and intolerance, of the importance of understanding and open-mindedness. You know, there's a lot that is embedded within this play that I feel we can all learn from. And yeah.
There's two plays, isn't there?
There are two plays.
Yeah. So what's the nexus between the two plays?
10 years.
So
the second play is 10 years later. It's an epilogue. The members of the Tectonic Theatre Company, which is a New York-based theatre company that went to Laramie, they go back 10 years later and they do a follow-up. And what attracted me to that piece of writing in particular was that I've never seen a piece of art that can honestly and accurately track a 10-year span. There is no element of, we need the characters to say this to prove this point, as many jumps in time do in plenty of other forms of art. And I just haven't been exposed to something quite this authentic before, and I fell in love with it. And so in light of last year's plebiscite and in honour of the 20th anniversary of Matthew's passing, I thought it was time to bring these shows back to Sydney. The Laramie Project hasn't been done here for many years, and the Laramie Project 10 years later makes it Sydney premiere with this, with our company. So I'm really, really proud of that. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've got an incredible enthusiasm for the project.
I just love it. So I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah. And so, Francisco, you just said, I think one of the parts you're in is in the 10 years on as one of the theatre company. Was it easy to sort of drop into that sort of role because you knew about what had gone on? So did you feel like, yeah, well, this could be me going there?
Yeah, I mean, that is a very exciting aspect of this play, the fact that we're on stage not only playing the people of Laramie, but also actors, other actors who went in and created this piece of theatre for the audience. So, yeah, I do feel like I can relate to the characters. And also it gives me, it reminds me, I guess, that even though we're playing 10 different characters, that this could have been any one of us. Any one of us could have experienced what these people experienced. They're just living their life in different circumstances. So it speaks to that universality, I guess, of people.
Yeah, and 10 characters. Gosh, do you ever get confused? Which is which?
Every now and then during the transitions, I'll be getting ready to be one person and then suddenly realize, oh, no. Right now I own a bar and I am very interested in looking after my staff and the interests of my bar. But yeah, but it's really fun, actually. Like, it's, what I really love about it is that one moment I'm on stage with someone who, you know, is my colleague. The next stage, I'm interviewing one of the murderers of Matthew Shepard, and it's the same actor that I was just, you know, having fun with two seconds ago. So
wow,
I really love that aspect of it.
You don't have much time for preparation then for the character, do you?
I think we have to map out, I think, the journey of the town, I guess. Instead of mapping out, normally as an actor I would map out the journey of my character. Here I have to map out the journey of the town and tell that story through different voices. It's been a really interesting process.
Yeah, and Carly, you've got a co-director. How's that working with two people directing, you know, quite a lot of characters?
You know what? It's, thank God we have one another. I mean, we have over 75 characters pop up in two plays, with about 140 costume and prop pieces, and what equates to about 4 and a bit hours of theatre. And so we work as a very well-oiled machine. We've done shows together in the past, but when I launched Theatre Travels and decided this is what I would produce, there was no one else I was looking to. It had to be, you know, it had to be Rosie and I, and we had to take this on together. And I'm so glad that we have, because it's a very ambitious project to make your debut as a company with. And, you know, I'm really, I gush because I couldn't be more proud of the entire team, of the 9 actors that bring the story to life, of what Rosie and I have created together, and of my whole crew that have just worked tirelessly to make this look and feel and just be Laramie.
But you're both doing both plays?
We're both doing both plays. We've done every single scene together.
You don't divide up various tasks?
We didn't. Initially, we thought that we might, but then we felt that because the characters move so seamlessly across all of the scenes, and we really do have predominantly the same opinion.
There's not too many artistic differences, is there? You've obviously got come through it unscathed. And it's
completely. It's, you know, it's a real joy when you get to work with one of your best friends, and then it gets to be like that as well. And it's, you know, I think that's very lucky.
It is. It's great. It's great. You're still best friends at the end of it.
Absolutely. We're working on our next show already. Got to think about what it is.
Brilliant. Brilliant. But like 4 hours is a long time, isn't it? What do you feel at the end of it? Do you still feel like you could go more? Or what if it's just the matinee finishes you've got to start for the final evening performance.
Francisco, how many times have we joked that we're going to write Laramie Project 20 years later?
Yeah. We feel like there's more to be told.
Yeah.
It is a bit of a marathon, but I think we just entered the world, and when we've just run the preview of the first play, and we come at the other end, and we know there's more to tell because we're so intimately familiar with the second play, so we get excited about doing the next run, and also I guess at the end of the rehearsal period, we just start running plays over and over, and we just immerse ourselves in the world, so I think we become used to just being in it. So I think we're all going to enjoy a bit of a sleep in tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first time we're going to have a sleep in a while before we come in and have our opening night of the first show.
Yeah, so the opening night's that coming up on, 28th? That's not far away, is it? That's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow. Sorry for taking up your time. But,
No, we're thrilled. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
And you've also got a special performance on World AIDS Day on Saturday. That's December the 1st.
We will be doing both shows again.
2 p.m. and 7 p.m.
It's our only other, so you can come and see the entire story in a day. And in between the shows, we're really lucky we've partnered with Akon, and we'll be fundraising for them in our break between the two shows. So,
there's no going out and getting too liquored up between the two shows. You're going to stay there.
Hey, whatever gets you through through an epic theatre day.
Anyway, it's on at the Seymour Centre at the Regional Theatre. What a wonderful experience has been for all of you to do this. Two plays together. It's a tough ask, and I just think, it's great that you're all still friends at the end of it. So thank you. Carly Sisso, thank you very much for being on stages here at 2SER, and thank you, Francisco, as well, for being on the show with us.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much for having us.
And that's it for us here on Stages. I'm Roderick Chambers. Thanks for being with us. It's been great being at your place. Stay tuned for Film Fight Club. To do with myself. Don't know just what to do with myself. I'm so used to